Extreme Anime Radio.
Everybody, it's been a month, I think, but we're here with the Extreme Anime Radio podcast, beginning of spring edition, as you can see by my background. Not so much as the background of my co-host, Mr. Neff Canuck. Hello, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good, good. Just showing your Leafs pride at the critical juncture of the season.
Indeed. They did manage to stun the Caps 16 seconds in tonight. Hopefully they can keep it up. I have no idea if they can because this team is infuriating. I call them the Toronto toilet seats. Up and down, up and down, up and down.
Oh, man. Well, we thank everybody for joining us. Sorry we've been away for so long with everything going on. I just finished my cruise with my parents, which was amazing. And I'll just be, you know, as brief as I can about this. If you haven't been to Bermuda, I highly recommend it. Very friendly people, very beautiful island. We took the whole tour. Oh, and there's the alert box that I have to silence again because we're doing a podcast. But Flax, thank you so much for your resubscription.
Now, okay, I'm going to ask what may sound like a stupid question, but geography was never my strong point. How close are you to the infamous Bermuda Triangle?
Let's see. I think the Bermuda, I think we're way north of the Bermuda Triangle, aren't we? I'm going to take a look real quick at what defines the Bermuda Triangle again.
Okay, because for those of you who don't understand my reference, the Bermuda Triangle is a place where infamously multiple ships have been lost and they've never been found. And it's sort of like, I thought about this, you know, as JR is going off into this cruise, and I'm going, great, all we need is JR's island.
Oh, we have a hype train. Hello, hype train. Hype train. All right, so it's time for us to spend some bits if you got them. But, okay, yes, the Bermuda Triangle has several, there's several different theories, but one theory is the Bermuda Triangle is the imaginary triangle connecting Bermuda, Miami, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. So if you think about it, yeah, I think I was in a little bit of the Bermuda Triangle for a few days.
Well, you made it back, so that's a good, you know, that means you managed to escape.
Yeah. So we did Bermuda. We did, my favorite bucket list item checked off, Maho Beach, St. Martin. We were at the airport beach, and I saw planes flying all over our heads, from small prop planes to a lot of private jets calling Maho Beach. We saw a couple with Canadian registration.
I wonder. Could be one of our infamous grocery barons going for some sun.
And then some WestJet we saw there as well. And, of course, my favorites, the big guys, we have KLM and Air France, A330s. Why? Because, remember, St. Martin is an island that's governed jointly by the Netherlands and France.
was wondering, thank you for educating me, because I was going, what would KLM and Air France okay, thank you.
Nonstop from Amsterdam and Paris, respectively. We went to British Virgin Islands, which I didn't spend a lot of time on, and then San Juan was good, too. I think the best... I'm going to get to that in a second, Flax. we went to San Juan, went around old San Juan a little bit, but I think the best part of that part of the trip was we get out of the ship in San Juan, we go across the street, and there's a Walgreens. So then we go to Walgreens and get all the certain stuff we may need for the remainder of the trip. And we needed it because last stop was Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic, which ended up being canceled because... And that's the first time I've ever had ever been on a cruise that's been they've changed course. After we left San Juan, the captain actually came on into the staterooms, which never happens except when they're doing like the mustering drill. So he gets down and says he's worried about weather conditions back in New York on the day of arrival. So because of that, we are canceling Puerto Plata, and we're going to steam home. We're going to get to New York a few hours early. So we ended up staying 3 days at sea instead of 2 days at sea. They had to change the onboard activities a little bit. And I ended up learning Tagalog, which is a primary language of most of the crew on the ship, because I think half of them come from the Philippines. Yeah, it was very interesting, and why I mentioned Flax's comment, because one of my coworkers at work was skeptical, because remember, Dominican Republic is right next to Haiti. So he was theorizing that maybe we skipped Dominican Republic because of the recent political situation in Haiti right now. So... yeah, well, it is a bit of a chin scratcher, but weather-wise, it looked like, yes, this bad weather was going to come the morning of our arrival. It ended up being that I think actually passed through like Wednesday night. We were out of the way of the storm, so it wasn't too bad. And then we got into New York on time. And if you will, the storm that we faced in New York when we docked was trying to get a cab.
Okay.
I cannot tell you how many touts we ran into after we left the cruise ship. Plus, we tried to get a yellow cab, and none of the yellow cabs would take us because we weren't going where they were going or something. I don't know. But they're legally supposed to take us, and they didn't. So we ended up going up one block and calling an Uber. And the Uber was, you know, the guy was nice and friendly. We chatted with him all the way home. And so that, kind of was a little bit of a happy note to the rest of the chaos of the morning.
That seems a little odd. There must have been something going on at the airport that people were, you know, not actually willing to take you where you wanted to go.
The cruise ship, Doc.
Mm. Oh, well, that, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just, because I'm going, wait a minute. Why would there be suddenly?
No, we do get touts at the airport as well. So I don't know how it is in Toronto.
Well, in theory, everybody who picks up at Pearson has to be properly licensed by the local airport authority.
Okay.
Now, Uber's been trying to muscle in on that,
mm-hmm.
and they're somewhat successful, but it requires that you as a passenger engage in some gymnastics.
Mm.
For example, there's a cell phone lot. That's where you'll meet up potentially with your Uber. And I've seen this as I was driving people to the airport myself.
Mm-hmm.
The Ubers will park on the side of the road just before the airport property.
Mm.
And they'll stack up. And they'll literally, like, just as soon as they get a call, zoom in,
yeah,
grab whoever, and zoom out before they get caught.
Wow. No, there's all sorts of things we could talk about. And yeah, Kyle, that's a topic for another day. Bree says her cousin was going to have her wedding in the Dominican Republic, but canceled it being there. Wow. But a lot of stuff has been happening these last few weeks. And before we delve into that, let me remind everybody that you can watch our shenanigans on Twitch at twitch.tv/extremeanimeradio. And if you're watching us, you want to take us wherever we go or wherever you go, that's more important. Anchor.fm/animeradio, powered by Spotify. While I was on my cruise, Neff, we learned of the news of the passing of one of the greatest manga artists of all time, Akira Toriyama, who I believe he started way, way back with a series called Dr. Slump. Nobody knows that. Oh, go ahead.
I was saying that would have been his first commercial success.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't as big, of course, as Dragon Ball would be later.
Exactly. So
now the trick was, of course, that Dragon Ball basically kept going and going and going,
yeah,
and going to the point where some of the fandom refer to it, you know, semi lovingly as Dragon Ball, as in Dragon.
But yes, his works cited as the influence of a number of manga artists, anime producers, and whatnot. Dragon Ball manga has sold in excess of 260 million around the world, of which Neff is one of them, I'm sure.
You know what? Honestly, the only connection I have to Dragon Ball is the original dub.
Oh, okay.
Because the original dub was done in Vancouver at Ocean Studios.
Hmm.
Before everything got moved to Texas. There were some actors that were brought in, but most of the actors, you know, were local talent when it was brought down to Texas.
Right.
But I always found it amusing to me because you get the two versions of Dragon Ball, because one channel will play one version, the other channel will play another, and you get one version where the characters have Canadian accents, mm-hmm. the others where, you know, nope.
No. Obviously, the Dragon Ball franchise is well beloved around the world, and a lot of people poured out their hearts at his passing, which was his passing occurred while I was on the cruise, but I don't think it was announced for a few days.
That's right. I think. As I recall correctly, he passed on March the 1st, I think it was, and it was
right.
announced like the 4th.
Exactly. Oh, March 8th.
Mm.
March 8th.
Yeah, to give the family time to grieve, which I think is very appropriate, because I never liked it when a celebrity death is suddenly, you know, front page instant news. Just kind of rankles, because these people have families, and families should be given a chance to, you know, grieve in their own way before the world comes calling.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
And I read something that just shows you how much of a legacy this guy's leaving. On the social media platform Neff, formerly known as Twitter, and still in many parts known as Twitter, apparently the trend, what you call the topics trending that you see on Twitter, the trending topics of Akira Toriyama and Dragon Ball surpassed President Joe Biden's State of the Union address, which was held at the same time as the news of Toriyama's death was announced.
I can't say I'm surprised, because as much as the State of the Union address is an important part of the American political system, Akira Toriyama has a much larger, more worldwide following.
Yeah.
So. Including apparently Mexico, where it was a really like big thing. I think they actually held a day of mourning, a national day of mourning.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some videos of some people marching around. I think it came up on one of my timelines one day.
Mm-hmm.
And actually somebody from Mexico that we know, is Brenny, one of the artists of, our mascot, Sarah, and you remember that we collaborate with constantly. She does amazing work, as you've seen. And you guys have seen the latest art that she did of Sarah and Umemiya dancing baseball / softball players. So that's the person we're talking about. She actually did an art tribute with one of the other characters from the series, whose name escapes me now. But it was touching that her and many other artists poured out their hearts to honor somebody whom they admire so much.
Indeed. I mean, his storytelling ability and his art has had an impact, will have an impact. And, you know, there's been talk about what happens now.
Mm.
And as much as that's distasteful on the one level, on the other level, you're like, how do you stop a franchise like this?
All right.
It would be like, it would be the equivalent in North America, for example, of the current Batman artist and writer just passing away.
All right.
Now, it's a bit, and again, it's different as well in North America because the artists and writers change over time. A mangaka basically takes their characters with them from beginning to end. But in this case, with Dragon Ball, there was no end, or at least not that we foresaw.
Right. And in fact, there is another anime coming out this year, I believe. Dragon Ball Daima is the latest one that he had, I think, been working on with character designs right up until his death.
Hmm. So we'll see how that goes. Any idea if it's going to be one of the longer series, or did they have a shorter run planned?
I'm going to take a look at that right now. How many Dragon Ball series have there been? You have the original Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, GT, Z Kai, Super, and then the Super Dragon Ball Heroes, and then Dragon Ball Daima, and not counting anything else like straight-to-video movies, that sort of thing. Let's take a look. Unless somebody else can beat me to the punch, I'm going to try to look this up real quick as we scroll down. Here we go. Dragon Ball Daima. There's nothing I can look up so far unless I go here. There's nothing on Dragon Ball Daima yet from one source that I'm reading.
Hmm.
So, Daima, let's see.
Was there even a
fall 2024, this fall.
Okay, but no information about episode count yet?
Not that I can. Let's take a look over here and see if this says anything. No, it doesn't look like it.
I mean, given what we know of the past history, I would say conservatively probably 24 episodes.
Right.
Just as a guess.
Right. Okay. No, nothing. According to this source, originally going to be an anime-only series without any input from Akira Toriyama. However, after giving advice here and there, Toriyama ended up becoming majorly involved.
Well, I'm not surprised because they are effectively his children, so to speak. And mangaka have this ability to, you know, say, hey, those are my children. You will not, you know, misuse them in any way, shape, or form.
Right. So Akira Toriyama, a legacy left, definitely from him. Somebody else who's Japanese, who's left a legacy, another name that we know very well, one Hayao Miyazaki, who had another triumph while we were gone. He won his second Academy Award for Best Feature Film, The Boy and the Heron.
And this is from a gentleman who said he was retired.
Yes.
So it's like, wait a minute here. You know, it's like, okay, you keep saying you retire, but then you produce these masterpieces, and it's like, okay, that's one way to get, you know, masterpieces produced, you know, say, I'm going to retire. And then everybody's like, wait a minute, you can't retire. Oh yeah. Just watch me. I think I'll change my mind. Let me create a masterpiece and then I'll retire.
Yes. And then we'll just wash, rinse, and repeat that a few more times.
Indeed.
So
I think the only time he'll retire for good is when you know, he's no longer able to actually produce anything.
Yeah. Sticking it to Disney. Oh, Beta's here. Hello, Beta. Sticking it to Disney, who's not even nominated in the animated category. No, I think a lot of people thought that Best Animated Feature was going to go to the Across the Spider-Verse movie.
Well, to be honest, I'm trying to remember any Disney produced animation in the last year in the relevant period of eligibility.
Yeah,
I can't think of anything that would actually have merited anything near even a nomination, never mind a possible win.
Right. A lot thought Spider-Verse, but yeah. So let's see, what were the others nominated? Let's take a look here. As we go into the list. The other one I think that had a shot was Elemental. Elemental was nominated. That was a Pixar film, so that would be Disney. But yeah, I don't think it had that strong of a following as Across the Spider-Verse, which I think is Sony. But I know that it was kind of back and forth because Boy and the Heron picked up some awards, including Golden Globe, and I know Across the Spider-Verse also picked up some awards too. So the Boy and the Heron, the way things are going, I'm pretty sure that it's going to end up on Max at some point, and G-Kids probably has their hands over it by now.
Which means, I'm trying to think what that means for Canada, and I can't think of what'll happen, because I mean, it could be anything. Could be Crave, could be just some random streaming service that nobody has.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird how things, rights issues get played with up here.
Right. So Studio Ghibli granted promotional control to G-Kids for the American release. Let's see. Was announced to be released. So, but has it still... I'm sure it must have. Yeah, it must have opened. It had to have opened in the movie theaters last year, so that's why it got the award. So yeah, it probably might be on Max by now for us. No word for you, unless we go to the that website that we like to check. Just Watch.
I was going to say, let me grab my phone for the Just Watch app.
I'm trying to load it up, but my iPad's being a little slow. Doesn't want to load up, so I'm going to check something real quick. No, it's on the correct Wi-Fi. So, oh, here we go. Yeah, we don't want to accept all the privacy settings. Okay, so The Boy and the Heron in Canada. It is not available for streaming.
I was going to say, and I checked, and I got not available on any of the streaming services I subscribe to, and I subscribe to now 5 or 6 different ones where it could have been, and it's like, huh? But again, I'm not surprised. Canada tends to get the, short end of the stick sometimes when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah. So congratulations to the team at Studio Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki. And what else? There was another movie that won at the Oscars that's Japanese. A Godzilla film. The 187th Godzilla film or something like that for Best Visual Effects.
Okay, and when you say the 187, you're probably not joking. There have been so many Godzilla films. It's not even funny. I mean, between the films, the TV series.
Godzilla Minus One. That's it.
The animated series, you know, including one by Hanna-Barbera, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Godzilla is one of those properties that just gets used and used and used.
Yeah. We got to see a lot of stuff we have to check out. I mean, if Boy and the Heron is on Max now, that might be the next thing I see. We're still, Brie and I are still continuing Tokyo Vice. It was funny. We watched the other day. I think Max made a mistake because There was one episode that was rated, according to Max, TVY. Ended up with one of the Yakuza guys getting shot up multiple times at the end, so.
Yeah, when you showed me that screen still, I'm like, wait a minute, something about this ain't right. And it's like, TVY?
Why? We don't know. And speaking of something that could be TVY, Liz just said in the chat, I remember the Hanna-Barbera Godzilla.
Yes. It was Godzilla and his little friend, Godzuki. It was basically this little tiny version of Godzilla drawn to be a little more acceptable to the kiddies.
And that's an American series.
Yes, it was.
Wow, the Godzilla Power Hour. I'm just looking this up now.
Oh, God. All I can say is, having watched it when it was first released, yikes. But that was Hanna-Barbera animation in the 70s and Hanna-Barbera storytelling in the 70s.
I'm surprised Toho gave their all clear for this.
My guess, to be honest, is they were probably pitched something completely different than what Hanna-Barbera actually produced. And Toho didn't do enough research to know, wait a minute, this is the same studio that produced, you know, Fred Flintstone. It should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but they also produced such gems, and I'm using air quotes here, as, you know, Scooby-Doo meets Batman.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay.
So apparently there was the Godzilla Power Hour, and then they added Johnny Quest shows and named it the Godzilla Super 90. Sounds like a film.
Yeah, and the problem was, if I remember correctly, they used original Johnny Quest episodes from the 60s.
Hmm.
And some of that stuff would not fly today. No
oh,
way.
No, exactly.
No, sir.
Oh, yeah, it's the sign of the times, but, you know, you can make the arguments one way or the other, you know, preservation, even though, you know, understanding what the topic, you know, hot topics were of the time.
Well, again, it's more a question of going, yeah, that might have been acceptable back then, not so much now.
Right. Somebody who's not acceptable was a former member of the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, and I know that's the reason why Beta is probably here tonight, because he was the one that kind of broke it in our Discord earlier today. Something about Shohei Ohtani's interpreter at the Dodgers being dismissed on allegations that... he squandered $4.5 million of Ohtani's money, which I'm sure for a guy like Shohei Ohtani is not much, but it's still $4.5 million.
Well, to be fair, technically it is, because right now, with the contract structure the way it is, Shohei's not getting that much money right now. All the money comes at the end, or at least the majority of it.
Yes. So, longtime interpreter who's Japanese, his name is Ippei Mizuhara, apparently got in with a loan shark or a bookie in Southern California, and was down, and then allegedly Ohtani helped him pay off the debts and stuff. He gave an entire article, not an article. He gave an entire interview to ESPN Tuesday evening, and ESPN was going to put an article out about it, and then suddenly the situation changed, and now lawyers are getting involved, and this afternoon the Dodgers cut him loose.
Which says to me there's a lot more to this one than meets the eye.
Right. So... he gave like a long-standing interview, which some of the bits and pieces are in the ESPN article that you can read. I don't know if they also recorded it by any chance, but now everything's been quote-unquote disavowed, and Beta is also showing, although this is kind of more speculative in nature to me, but Somebody pointed out a clause in Shohei Ohtani's contract there. If there is a some sort of significant personnel change at the Dodgers, that he can opt out of his contract. I think that's more speculative than anything, isn't it?
Well, I'll say this. Considering the structure of the contract already, it would not surprise me if he has an opt-out clause in there somewhere.
Right.
Now, whether or not it gets triggered by simply, okay, if, you know, X translator gets hooped, I wouldn't venture to guess, but
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, personally, I think this is sort of, you know, somewhat karmic, given the whole thing with Shohei Ohtani in the offseason and how, you know, a certain baseball team got played for a sucker. Toronto Blue Jays.
So reading up this a little bit more. So apparently he thought the bets placed through this guy was legal. He thought he was dealing with DraftKings. And Ohtani wasn't happy about it, said he would help him out to make sure he never did this again, and he decided to pay it off for him. That's what he said on Tuesday. And then this afternoon, he allegedly says, oh, Ohtani never knew that I was betting. Then how did that $4.5 million come into play?
Again, there is something going on rotten in the state of Dodgerland. And again, karmic justice. And I don't mean Apollo.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a still developing story, but you know, sad state of affairs that we stumble onto today.
Well, I mean, it's almost baseball season. What's baseball season without a few controversies here and there?
How are those Blue Jays shipping up for opening day?
I got to be honest with you. We got people, you know, on our pitching staff on the injured reserve already, or the IL as they call it in baseball. And I'm just going, oh boy, this is.
Yeah.
But like I said, when Shohei and the traveling flea circus from Dodgerland come to town, I may not buy a ticket, but I will lustily boo in front of my TV. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's right. The Korea series is being held in South Korea, Dodgers and Padres.
That's right. They started, the first game was this morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
The only reason I know that is because when I woke up to SiriusXM this morning at 7 a.m. and listening to the hockey channel, I get bombarded with ads for these baseball games. I'm going, I'm listening to a hockey channel. I don't want to hear about baseball right now, especially because now we're in the last, you know, quarter or so of the season. And, you know, all these games are very, very important.
Yeah. They have one more game, right? When is that? Tomorrow morning?
I think so. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it'll be 6 a.m. again, which actually works out for me because I have to get up at, you know, godforsaken time to go to a doctor, you know. Check the shoulder, make sure it's still there.
But no, if it's on tomorrow, I'm definitely going to watch. I forgot it happened today. Yeah, so quote-unquote, the baseball season has begun in a way, like 10 days, 15 days before we're used to.
Well, I mean, they did it for hockey as well. They had early... That's true. Blue Jays... So the Blue Jays had to grab a pitcher. Now, whether or not this is a pitcher of any import, we'll find out soon enough. But like I said, if you're grabbing pitchers and you haven't even hit opening day yet, that's not a good sign.
Here on the Extreme Anime Radio podcast, I'll tell you somebody who's actually having a great time. A sumo wrestler by the name of Takeru Fuji. Bree and I are watching the March sumo tournament in Osaka. And several people have dropped out. The top-ranked Yokozuna lost four of his first six matches, so he withdrew, and then there's speculation that, you know, he either shapes up now or he's going to be forced to retire. And a few others have left due to injury or other reasons. But now, the guy at the very bottom of the ladder, Maegashira number 17. So the very bottom of the top division, if we look from bottom to top. His name is Takeru Fuji. He's a new top division debutant, if you will. And right now, he is the sole leader with a 2-win lead after 11 days of the 15-day tournament. And he just beat, in the last couple of days, two of the toughest opponents on the ladder. And he's going to be facing more tough opponents now in these last few days.
Hmm. So it's always interesting when a new player enters the scene, so to speak. But how often does a player, or a sumo wrestler in this case, from the bottom go anywhere near, like, do they, how far up do they usually get?
Well, if they do very well, they'll get promoted up on the ladder. In Takeda Fuji's case, I think he'll get a nice bump up, assuming he, you know, finishes the tournament without any major problems. If he wins the tournament, I see him going probably up to like the top half of the Maegashira, below the highest ranks, and you have ranks above that. So I think he's going to do very well in that regard. The fact that he's already beaten two or three upper-ranked wrestlers, that's going to go in his favor. He's already thinking to get the outstanding performance prize for what he's doing, which is a little monetary bonus and a nice little prize. But obviously, the way he's going, he's aiming for the big prize, which is the Emperor's Cup. Now, he's at Maegashira 17. The last person to win a Grand Sumo tournament at the bottom, around the same position he's in now, I believe his name is, I'm not exactly certain. I would have to look up the results of the last sumo tournament before COVID shut down. So that will be January 2020. So that would be... Oh, I was correct. Toku Shoryu was the wrestler who won at Maegashira 17 in January 2020. Also ranked at that same spot, a wrestler named Kiribayama, who is now an Ozeki by the name of Kirishima. But yes, Takeda Fuji, I kind of looked this up. He's already set some historical sumo feats. And I looked this up after I watched Sumo with Bree tonight, that he's now on his first 11 out of 11. The last newly promoted top division wrestler to do that was Taiho in January of 1960. Taiho would go on to become one of the sport's top Yokozuna competitors. So he has a chance to break that mark should he win and keep his 2-win advantage tomorrow. So right now, if he continue on the high path, he's going to look very good at winning the his first top division championship. But we've seen more interesting things happen in sumo, so we'll see where things go from here.
Very interesting.
So... we're looking forward to seeing what happens at the end of that tournament. And I'll show you something that I bought from Japan, Nef. Well, I'll just show the covers. One thing I haven't opened yet. One thing I have. And I bought this on the thought that, okay, the Bank of Japan is about to raise its interest rates. And the U.S. might be dropping its interest rates soon, although we saw this week that didn't happen. So just on the news that Japan was raising its interest rates, it probably would give more steam to the Japanese yen. So I bought a couple of things from CD Japan. Funny enough, my first purchase is from CD Japan since we stopped broadcasting as a radio station. And no use to buy anything from CD Japan since then. yes, I will show you some things. This I started playing, so maybe when we have a lull in Apollo Justice, we can get to this. Well, you know, I love my train simulator games, so here's the latest one, Real Pro. And if you recognize some of these trains, Neff, you might be familiar, because I believe this is a train. Did you go with us to Hakone or no?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so you rode in the older version of this red train over here.
Mm-hmm.
The train that we rode in has already been retired. This is the latest one that they're running now.
Oh, and dear.
So now,
how much faster does it go?
Not faster at all. Just the same speed.
Supposed
to be more technologically advanced, but I think this new train does away with those salons that we stayed in.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed at that. But I gotta look it up just to make sure I'm right. This is one of those simulators where it takes real life video and follows your movements of driving the train. It's cool and whatnot, and I've already done the first two, the commuter train and the blue train, which is the Metro Hakone. That is that is one of the express trains that runs to Hakone and also runs through the subway. So you can go from the subway to the mountains and have a nice time.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's another thing, Beta. After all this time, I don't know why they haven't resumed everything, because now you have airmail that resumed, I think, a few months back. And, you know, I got my purchases through DHL. For me, that was the best option. DHL still does international deliveries, and I know every time I say DHL, Neff cringes, DHL. And why do you cringe about DHL?
Let's see. Between getting, you know, completely blown out at customs with these clowns and their handling fees, missing, you know, deliveries, partial deliveries, every time I hear those three letters, it's like, ooh, bad things are coming. And no, it's not my delivery.
No, but for me, you know, living in a major metropolitan area like New York, it's a lot easier to get these express shipments. They're very efficient. I'll show you the other thing. I have not opened this yet because I haven't had time. I need to have like an hour and change to listen to this. This is an audio CD. Unfortunately, obviously, I cannot broadcast it for obvious reasons. But I would highly recommend it. And if you can't get your hands on it, there are other ways you can stream the music, I'm sure. So this is a CD, and it's called FM Station 8090, City Pop and J-Pop by Kamasami Kong. Now, Kamasami Kong is a DJ, I believe he's from Hawaii. And he moved to Tokyo to continue his radio career, and he was one of the DJs of Japanese radio. So this is him doing a radio show. You hear his voice talking in between the tracks, playing City Pop and J-Pop. And this was something that has come out because of the latest trend these last few years of everybody going back to these wonderful City Pop and J-Pop music from the 1980s and 1990s. That's why the CD is called FM Station 8090. So there have been a few of these releases now, and like I said, there are other ways you can you know, get this besides the CD. Nowadays we may struggle to try to find a place to play this because for example, here, no CD drive. I have to actually either pull out my portable DVD player that plugs in by USB, or fire up the PlayStation, which I never touch anymore, to listen to the CD on my stereo.
Yeah, now that we stream everything, it's much harder to say, okay, let me just, you know, throw on a CD or a DVD or a Blu-ray and watch X.
But obviously, this has a big influence even now. In fact, with some of the art that we have with Sarah and Umemi, Brenny is a big proponent of that style, and we see a lot of her works like that. We'll probably be working with her again. We have, oh boy, I don't know. I don't think I'm set up for this, unfortunately. Not now, but maybe something we can show people after we do the Jackbox stream, because I'll have enough time to set it up by then. We have another artist that we work with called Raquel. She lives in Spain. She has a very unique style. We're always happy to work with her. And we have a concept that we're going to be posting soon. Sarah and Umemi as these quote-unquote city pop, J-pop vinyl record covers.
Intriguing. Very much so.
So we'll show that. I don't think I've shown you or Liz. I've shown a few other people. I don't think I've shown you or Liz yet, right?
That's why I'm saying intriguing. I don't remember that.
We also have, I'm trying to see, we have some more art with our mascots. And also we're getting some cosplays together as well. So we'll keep you posted on that for everybody who enjoys our mascots, Sarah and Umemi. We're also working on a new wallpaper with UA Okinawa. We started on that today. Not so much of a spring, but more of a warm weather type desktop wallpaper project, which we're very excited about. So, would be interesting to have a 2010 edition. Well, then we can just go back to online radio and we can just put on a show ourselves, but we can't. Unless we do something like the GT Lounge or find other Japanese influenced music that's free to play, or we get permission to play.
Yeah, copyright.
Yeah. So I've mentioned before, there is a possibility that we could do another GT Lounge in the future, but of course we have to do some more homework and see how things go from there. So yes. Let's see. Liz, I had an uncle who flew for DHL as he was trying to jump ship to UPS. Interesting.
Hopefully not mid-flight, because that would be rather messy.
Oh, no. I was starting to read and watch the John Oliver piece he did on Boeing, and I had to stop before we did the show. But yes, Boeing airplanes.
Okay, and I only reference back to a very, very old reference, the Benny Hill Show. You've probably never seen it or heard of it. he had this rather unique way of pronouncing Boeing. He would call it Boeing, as in Boeing. Given what we've seen lately, maybe he knew something that we didn't many, many years ago about what they were going to turn into. Yikes.
Well, take my word for it, as a flight simulator enthusiast, the Airbus planes are a little easier to fly, especially the modern ones, than the Boeing planes.
The Airbus planes also don't have their doors randomly fall off or plug doors fall off.
Yeah, we'll have to do another flight sim stream. As many of you know, it sometimes can be a little difficult to try to stream flight simulator, so... streaming it will have to involve switching my configuration to the laptop. Something else that I had also thought about for these high intensive graphic streams is maybe changing my graphics output back down to 60 hertz, because right now it's at 144, just for my own personal purposes. And if we do basic games like Apollo Justice, it doesn't affect anything too much. But if we do graphics intensive like Flight Simulator, it does. I could revert back to 60 hertz and see if that makes a difference. The long-term solution would be, yes, not this year, because I think this year I want to try to get a better laptop. That's the priority for this year. Maybe next year or the year after that, this guy's going to get upgraded big time.
That's sort of like my little home theater PC in my living room. It's starting to show, you know, creaks and groans, and I'm going.
Yeah, you love when you build machines, but then it seems sooner than later they start to give you problems.
Yeah, the problem, like I say, the problem is even if you buy a pre-built, like they seem to have a finite lifespan because between all the patching and all the new security requirements, etc., that nice shiny toy that was fast when you bought it, 3-4 years later, you're like going, what is this electronic boat anchor?
Yeah. But real quick, anything else on your mind? Because we're going to set up for Jackbox here in a moment.
I'll just quickly state that I have decided to jump into the world of electric vehicles.
Oh, that's right. Oh man, we've been on these topics all hour. We've completely forgot to talk about this. But yeah, well, we could talk about more about this. Anything we don't touch on tonight, we could talk on next podcast. But really quick, Neff, yes, you're Frey into the world of electric vehicles.
Yeah, because I've been doing some research and I've been finally figuring out that, wait a minute here. Even a hybrid doesn't really work for me in one respect. I have such a short ride to work that the hybrid motor is like, I don't like you. You're not even giving me a chance to get warm. You know, because my drive to work is like 3 kilometers, which is like basically a mile and a half.
Right.
So it's basically start and then stop.
That's it.
Whereas electric vehicle, it's like, it doesn't care. It's just, you know, it goes and stops. It's like a switch on and off. So I'm looking. And Ford finally decides that, you know, maybe we have been pricing these things a little too expensive. Yeah, gee, you think. You have, you know, in this case, 2023 model year Mach-Es moldering on your lots for months because you're asking for stupid money for these cars. I mean, when I say stupid, I'm saying $72,000 Canadian for not even the highest trim of them. It's more like a mid-grade trim. Yeah. The premium model.
Right.
So eventually Ford says, you know what? Okay, fine. We relent. They knock some money off.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government says, okay, now that it's under a certain amount, we'll knock off some money too. So that got it down to, you know, not quite death on a plate. So I went looking. I saw one that I really liked. It was like red. It was like, okay, I was going to call it the big red sled, whatever. So I said, okay, I'm going to go down there. And what happens is I go down there on, I think it was, would have been Tuesday. I went down there Tuesday morning and, you know, I poked around and I said, well, is the red one still available? And literally they told me, no, it just got sold last night and the website wasn't updated. Crap. So they said, well, we do have the demo model here. It had, you know, some extra decorative stuff that I wasn't too thrilled with. It's not my thing, in gray. And I'm like, okay, can we work, you know, a bit on the price? We did. We got something I could live with. And then I find out who was actually driving that demo. It was the general manager of the dealership, his wife's car. Now, I know them both, the general manager more so than his wife. I know that the general manager also had his demo Mach-E, which was a year older, that they were trying to get rid of, that I wouldn't have touched with a 20-foot pole, not only because it had 40,000 kilometers on it already. I know how he drives. This is a guy who literally took a then brand new Ford Flex with a twin turbo V6 to a racetrack and proceeded to stomp people into the ground with this stupid thing, including yours truly. When I got passed by what amounted to a giant refrigerator on wheels, I started reevaluating my life at that point. I gotta be honest with you. And so, okay, we'll take this one. Okay, fine, we make the deal. And so we go out for lunch today, and as I'm dropping off the check, and I say, you know, say sorry to your wife that I've, you know, taken her car. And he's like, she doesn't care. She just, you know, she just asked, what am I driving now? And he said, I told her, what do you want? That's what happens when you're the general manager of the dealership. You just, you know, put keys on the table and there you go. It's yours to drive for 6 months.
Well, now, when are you picking up yours?
Now, they have to do modifications so I can safely drive it.
Right.
The parts apparently are in New Brunswick, which I thought was bizarre. I'm going, why would you have a warehouse for these parts in New Brunswick, where you would have the smallest possible audience for these parts?
Yeah.
As opposed to something more central like Quebec or Ontario.
Yeah.
So it has to be shipped here. They said 5 business days at worst. So I'm guessing at worst middle of next week, just before the long weekend for us.
Okay. I get
Good Friday off and Easter Monday.
Okay. That'd be a good time, yeah. New Brunswick, though, I visited New Brunswick on a cruise, St. John's. I would go back in a heartbeat because it's a nice, charming city.
Well, I'm sure it is a wonderful city. I'm just going, why would you store parts for a pedal extender in that place? You know.
All right. Well, congratulations, Neff, and I'm sure, yeah, next time we speak on Twitch like this, we will we'll delve in more to that. But yeah, we had a nice good time, our first podcast back in a while, and I will leave you now with the closing commentary.
If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or complaints about this podcast or anything you see on Extreme Iron Radio Twitch channel, drop us a line at extremeiron@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Our social media links can be found at linktree.com/animeradio. There you'll find our Facebook account, our Instagram account, our Twitch server, our X account, our YouTube channel, which is at Extreme Anime Radio, and archived versions of this podcast are available at anchor.fm/animeradio.
All right. So we thank you for joining us here tonight. Happy spring again to everybody. We will see you the next time we do a podcast. If you're watching us on Twitch right now, we will be right back in a few minutes. Mika is scheduled to join us for Jackbox tonight as well. A little something to ask Mika, considering Mika had the time of their life here in the greatest city in the world this past weekend. So, Mika in a few minutes. With everybody else playing Jackbox, we're going to survive the internet. Vanef, I'm JR. Thanks for watching, and remember,
keep on looking up the Extreme Radio Twitch streams, and don't forget, archive versions of our podcasts are available at anchor.fm/animeradio or your favorite podcasting platform. Good night, everybody.
Good night. We'll see you next time.